Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Sophie Casas. I'm one of the producers on The Distance. For Climate Week, Vice has launched its biggest initiative ever. We're calling it Climate Uprise. Today, every single Vice Media Group site across the world is striking from the daily news cycle and instead only telling stories about the climate crisis for a full 24 hours. We've also partnered with an international group of young climate activists who each proposed one way others could help mitigate climate change's devastating effects on their home. You can find their stories at climateuprise.vice.com. At Vice Audio and at The Distance, we're resharing a recent episode about the oil spill off the coast of Mauritius and one volunteer's efforts to help mitigate the damage. Thanks for listening.
For me, the ocean is really important, not only because we have a blue economy where we rely a lot on the ocean for our resources like fishing and these kind of things, but the ocean has a very special place in my heart. And that's why I always encourage people to consider the ocean as being very sacred. It's something that Mauritians, all Mauritians, feel that we need to conserve and preserve. But sometimes you tend to take the ocean for granted. I'm Krishni and I live in Mauritius, the tiny island located in the middle of the Indian Ocean between the island of Madagascar and Australia. And we're about 1.2 million people from different religions, ethnicities, and we all live peacefully together. I work as a lecturer in law at the University of Mauritius, and I'm also a social worker working in fields of environment and climate change. We have a lot of like natural, beautiful places, sandy beaches, blue skies, all year good weather, and our main industry is tourism. You know, economically, socially, we're very bound together and a very happy place to live. Our experience of the coronavirus has not been as bad as other countries. But when the pandemic happened, you know, Mauritians, I think we learned many lessons. Like, even though the government was very good in containing the pandemic, it was also civil society and normal people who also made sure that there was a lot of good communication. There were volunteers, there were frontliners. And these lessons in the pandemic helped us deal with the crisis happening right now. We heard on the news that there was this big tanker which found itself very mysteriously in our waters and very close to our lagoons. And it was unclear what had happened, why it was so close to Mauritius when it was not supposed to be there. It was all mysterious, but people, I think, they thought that the government had the capacity, had the technical know-how, how to deal with this shipwreck.
As of today morning, the National Coast Guard has informed that there is no occurrence of any oil spill. All precautions are being taken to prevent any oil spillage.
The authorities were saying everything is under control, everything's going to be okay, and don't worry. And then I was at work, and then I was just checking my Facebook, and I saw images starting to come on social media. A friend shared a picture taken by helicopters What I saw was in the middle of the ocean, you have this big tanker and then big cracks in the middle of that tanker. And then so much oil is spilling at an outrageous speed into the water. All round, you could see the blue, clean, pristine, clear waters and just like black contrasting with this blue ocean. At first, I thought it was a fake picture and that people were just manipulating it and just sharing it. Then after a few hours, as reliable sources started posting on social media, I realized that, oh my God, this is actually happening. I was angry. I thought that the government had not done enough. And then from anger, it turned to grief. Then from grief, I went into just trying to find solutions to mitigate this. But I was feeling very powerless on that night. I didn't know what to do. Finally, I decided I'm not going to just sit on social media and like cry and, you know, like complain against the government. Instead, I reached out to my networks, NGOs, and then we just started organizing the cleanup efforts. A friend called me and he works in marine sciences. And he said, Krishni, I'm now meeting with the National Crisis Committee. And these people have asked me to start organizing the volunteer efforts because government was not going to be able to mitigate the effects and clean up by itself. So he said, okay, what is going to happen? I'm going to give you all the details of what we need and where we need to go. And then you are going to write a post on Facebook and prepare a flyer. That's how we're going to start the efforts. I said, volunteers needed. Buses will be provided tomorrow in different locations, free of charge. Bring these equipments or equipments will be provided on the spot. And we meet you tomorrow at 7 a.m. Within minutes, my phone started ringing and it didn't stop until the next morning. The next day, I actually drove there. It was a one-hour drive. And my student, he was sitting next to me and he was like, okay, so I have done a mathematical calculation and your phone is ringing every 20 seconds. I didn't have time to think. I was just like a robot in autopilot mode. You know, you have to pick up materials over there. You have to pick up PPEs there. I have to coordinate, I have to give instructions, I have to make this work. But I didn't want to go there because I knew I would be very shocked to see all the oil. So I said I wouldn't go near the beach where I would just stay and like organize things and not see what happened actually. But then immediately is the first thing that you see. Just beyond the waterfront, I just saw like black oil floating. And then the waves kept crashing and the water had come up to the rocks and all the rocks were covered in heavy oil. Normally when the sun is shining, the water is so blue and it sparkles. But at that time, there was no blue water, no water sparkling. And then in the background, you can actually see the ship, which is starting to tilt over. It's a good thing that we had the mask that you have to put to protect yourself for the COVID, because if you don't have a mask, there's such a strong smell and it's very dangerous to go there if you don't have protective gear. It was like a scene that you see normally in the movies. Like, I think for that 5 minutes, I was so shocked that there were people around me and I couldn't even talk to them. It was disbelief and feeling powerless. And then, I don't know, like, things happen, like, magically. The efforts had already started the night before. People had stayed there overnight to start building these big oil boomers that they were going to put in the water so that they could protect our lagoons. They are, like, really long, snake-like objects. You take, like, sort of a big cloth, like really, really long, cut it. And then the volunteers put empty plastic bottles as well as a dried sugarcane leaves. They put all of these inside and then you take a needle and a very heavy piece of thread to tie the whole cloth, and so it is ready. And then it is so long that you need at least 20 people carrying one boomer on their shoulders, and then they go and deposit it where it's needed in the lagoon. That's the objective. It's to contain the oil as far back as possible and try not to bring the oil into the lagoons and onto the beach. Obviously, the effects firstly are going to be for the environment, and it's really bad because where the spill happened is very close to a wetland site, which is protected under the Ramsar Convention protecting wetlands. And then there's a like small island close to the spill point where it's protected by the government and it's managed by the Mauritius Wildlife Foundation, where you have a variety of endemic, very rare animals, lizards and plants and tortoise. We already have like a lot of dead fish have ended up on the sands, like floating in the water. And I mean, a lot of corals are going to be ruined. And the second concern in the long run is obviously going to be on the fishermen communities living there. And not only fishermen, you know, restaurants, hotels, and all of these people, they depend on the ocean for their livelihoods. I'm very, very sad that this has happened. But I'm someone who's very positive, so I would like to hope that things are going to get better. There are so many people out there helping out. Like, this thing has started a national solidarity, and I would like to be hopeful about the future. But we have to realize that this kind of kindness, this kind of coming together, it has to happen every day and not just when a catastrophe strikes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.